Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
All righty. Michigan and Michigan State will play for the 118th time on Saturday night. I think this might be, since I've been doing this for a living, the least hyped of these matchups ever. Some Spartan fans want to get embarrassed on Saturday night, so Jonathan Smith gets fired. Are you a bad fan if you want to get embarrassed by your main rival?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not going to say I don't understand it, but it goes down to how much do you trust Jay Batt? Do you trust that you've lost four Big Ten games to this point, you've only played four, if you beat Michigan and then you lose to Minnesota, Penn State, Iowa, and Maryland, one game, one win like this should not save his job. So it's not going to do any worse or any better. I would just rather not get blown out by my rival. I don't want that as part of the conversation.
You're absolutely not a bad fan if you're rooting for a blowout this week because you're rooting for the best interest of your school. As a Spartan fan, you're rooting for what's best for Michigan State in the long term, which is a swift firing of Jonathan Smith. They haven't been convinced he needs to go yet, so they need more ammunition.
Or maybe they're just waiting to the end of the year because you're not going to hire a new guy next week.
But I've seen this phenomenon in this city with our pro teams. If you want to see a coach fired, if you can't make the playoffs, you are still rooting for your team by rooting against your team. You're just looking at the big picture.
That makes absolutely no sense.
You got to think, John.
None.
Use your brains. Come
None.
On.
None. It's always about the win.
Calm down in there, okay? Michigan State fans have been beaten down the last few years. I want to extend an olive branch as a Walmart Wolverine. This season is the 10th anniversary of Trouble with the Snap. Is that the most iconic play in the history of the rivalry?
100% yes. The suddenness, the shock, it's Harbaugh's first year, it's D'Antonio on the other side, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a distant second, and it depends which fan base. Michigan's never going to say, yeah, that's the most iconic play, but it is. The other one would be Charles Woodson's interception. But that goes to the point of, well, if I'm going to look at it from a Michigan perspective, it's Charles. If I'm going to look at it from a Michigan State perspective, it's Trouble with the Snap. If I'm indifferent to either team, it's clearly Trouble with the Snap.
So I asked your counterpart on your broadcast, Michigan, Doug Karsh. He said it's Spartan Bob.
Spartan Bob. You could say that, but no. The trouble with the snap is much more. Anytime this topic comes up, and I asked that question last night, and they all said trouble with the snap.
Yeah, and I actually don't think it gets enough credit in college football history for the jarring and suddenness of the play. Like, I know the kick six still gets some play and stuff like that. It was incredible what happened. It's a one in a million play that happened against Michigan. All right, we're pretty much at the halfway point of the college season. This is an annual question that I love to ask. What team ranked outside the top 15 is most likely to crash the college football playoff?
Well, there's a couple easy answers, but I'm going to go with one that I actually said at the beginning of the season. That's Arizona State. They just had a big win over Texas Tech, and the issue is going to be the top two teams in the conference, in the Big 12, Cincy and BYU. Arizona State doesn't play either. They have one loss, and it was a bad loss, but they're still in the mix. Cincinnati and BYU do play each other, so one of them is going to have a loss. What the hell is the tiebreaker? No one knows.
This is why I hate this new system.
Well, this is good. He picked a Big 12 team that could emerge. I'll go with an ACC school, Louisville. Only one loss. They have no ranked opponents left. Could run the table. They've got a veteran quarterback, some good skill talent, and it's Brom.
Recency bias.
And they have a good loss, actually, with Virginia and OT that they shouldn't have lost, right?
Yeah.
By the way, in this little exercise, we excluded the group of five team or whatever, South Florida.
South Florida would be an easy one, yeah.
Because we know they're automatically going to make it. All right, the Lions have reached their bye week at 5-2, keeping Super Bowl aspirations alive. Will the Lions reach the Super Bowl? And if so, who will they play?
Best team in the NFC, the Lions will be in the Super Bowl, and they'll get their rematch against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I knew you were going to say that.
You can say the same thing. Sometimes you guys can't agree on that first one.
I'm not going to agree because I think they do still have a couple flaws. I don't know that the receivers are always going to stay healthy. That is key. They still can't find a way to protect Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go with the hot hand, and maybe it's just the hot hand right now. The Colts are playing really good defense.
Lions-Colts. Michigan and Indiana, border war?
Sure, if you want to call it that, yeah.
Big-time rivalry game.
And maybe it's just a hope that the Colts get there because it's a great story, and I think it's Daniel Jones. It was Saquon Barkley sticking it to New York last year. And now it's Daniel Jones sticking it to New York again this year.
So Saquon and Daniel Jones win back-to-back or make back-to-back Super Bowls in Mike Vilenny's world. Really?
Hilarious. Hilarious.
And then you pile on that loss last week that the Giants had.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Holy moly.
Malik Nabers holds out next year, gets traded, and then he goes on to win a Super Bowl.
All right. The last time the Lions lost two straight games was late October of 2022. What is the single biggest reason why the Lions are so resilient after a loss?
Well, I'm going to say it's the will of Dan Campbell. And we could use culture. We could use all of those different things. But everybody always asks, okay, what does that mean? And I'll tell you this. It's emotional stamina. It's not being too high and it's not being too low. Not getting too high after a big win and not getting too low after a loss. It's having confidence in what you are doing, the process of preparing every single week and being able to put a loss or a win behind you and going out there and playing your best next week.
Yeah, Dan Campbell often says it's the players. He's being too humble. A lot of teams have great players.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, and I'll give you a specific, they lose to the Chiefs, and what did he say immediately after the game? Everybody wanted to focus on that officiating blunder. He said it had no bearing on the result. Now, it had some bearing, but he didn't want to give it any oxygen to his team. We are moving on. It's Dan Campbell who sets that tone.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree with you guys. All those things are good. I just, for these players, I'll go with St. Brown as kind of one of the leaders and the guys that carries the team and all that. In 2025, for these players to take the will that they have to be strong, not buy into media narratives, to not bicker back and forth, to not complain about getting the ball, don't care. That's very hard to accomplish in 2025 with the modern athlete. All right, the NFL trade deadline is 12 days away. I want you to predict, both of you, which will be the biggest trade at the trade deadline.
I have a question for you. Who's the bigger name, Breece Hall or Chris Olave?
Breece Hall.
Okay, Breece Hall to the Chiefs.
Okay, I could see that. And I could see any offensive lineman being traded to the Chargers. They've been decimated with injuries up front. But I'm going to go with I'm going to actually include Detroit in this one.
Oh.
Rick Woolen, corner for the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh, Holmes loved him in the draft.
Loved him in the draft. And here's the thing. He's a 6'4", speedy corner that is dying to play more man coverage. And he doesn't really fit Mike's defense in Seattle. So if they can get everybody, if Weatherspoon can stay healthy.
What's the price?
Well, so it's his fourth year. And so he's not been extended. So I think you're probably looking at, I don't know, a fifth round pick.
Hendrickson doesn't get moved, guys?
I don't think he does.
Wow.
And all if right. you want the bonus
maybe,
one.
Maybe that's the big story.
Well, you brought up Mike McDonald. That's the last question here. And I look, for two straight weeks, I brought up Jackson Smith and Jigba last week. I'm not some Seahawk homer or something like that here. I just want to clarify that. But Mike McDonald has the Seahawks at 5-2. He's 15-9 overall as a head coach, putting his win percentage at 62.5%. Is McDonald the most underrated coach in the NFL?
Well, I think he is. And I think part of it is, all right, JSN. Like, he is not talked about enough, even after last week and the poster that he put on that official by dunking it on the goalpost. But you don't talk about him because it's Seattle. We don't look, we don't see, we don't hear, we don't feel anything that goes on in Seattle. And it's Sam Darnold. Like, nobody cares about what he is doing because he's out of division, out of sight, out of mind. Mike, same thing. The only other guy I would talk about, and I think it's because people have forgotten how good of a coach he can be, that's Sean Payton in Denver.
He's got cred, obviously,
because he's won a Super Bowl. But yeah. Having the issues that he had, being fired in New Orleans, sitting out a year, I think people have really forgotten how good he is. He's got this Denver team in Bo Nix at 5-2.
I'll go Todd Bowles. I don't feel like we give enough love to defensive head coaches in this league. They've cycled through offensive coordinators. He's kept them at the top of that division. They've won a playoff game. Nobody thinks of Todd Bowles as a good coach. I think he's a damn good coach.
I disagree. I think a lot of people do. But
he gets forgotten.
Yeah, he gets forgotten because he is a defensive head coach. Same thing with Mike. Yeah.
He always has the kind of the weird faces on the sideline. People like to make fun of him. But I agree with you. Second time around getting a chance. He's done a phenomenal job. Post a Super Bowl team, you know, with Brady and cleaning that whole thing up.
Yep. That could have gone south. That's your Thursday touchdown. It's 97.1. Something that was in Heather's news was the kick time for Michigan State, John.
Yeah, I know. It was a six-day call, and we were all trying to figure out, you know, at this time of the year, that's what happens, right? You get into these six-day calls. There's a couple of weeks at the end of the year where networks will say, we want to wait and see what the results are of the games on Saturday, and we'll make our decision on Saturday night into Sunday morning. You wake up Sunday morning, and you get the email or you get the notification that Michigan State, it's going to be 7:30 on NBC. I'm just not sure what the big draw is for nationally. Because it's going to be a nationally televised game for two teams that, there's always going to be, you know, here in the state of Michigan, a lot of, you know, to do about this game and the matchup and you know, the rivalry. But this year, outside of the state of Michigan, is there much of a draw?
I don't even think there's that much juice inside the state of Michigan.
Well, there's always going to be juice when you get closer to Saturday. And I know that there's a lot of people that say, we want, you know, Michigan State fans. I'm not going to speak for them, but they have told us they want a blowout so they can get new leadership in their coaching position.
Yeah, so in that standpoint, you have people rooting for the same thing that doesn't really make for much of a rivalry. And I don't want to say that's all Spartan fans. You can call in and stick up for yourself if you think that's a false narrative. But you do have a lot of Spartan fans that are down in their program and want change and are rooting for their team to lose. They're rooting for Michigan to win. So in that way, they're joining the Wolverines and rooting for the same outcome. There's just not the juice to this game. This being at night doesn't meet the moment of what I consider the night football game to be, the all day waiting around for the marquee matchup. And John, I sat down and I looked at, okay, well, what are the other Big Ten games? Because this is an NBC Big Ten Saturday night.
Yeah.
And as I looked at it, you could go, you can't put Indiana because they're Fox Big Noon kickoff. They're hosting UCLA. You could do 5-2 Nebraska against 5-2 Northwestern.
No.
How about this? Illinois, with a number next to their name, plays at Washington. Battle of 5-2s, an eliminator game. I'd rather that be the game at night, right? Washington at night, out west, Big Ten Saturday night. Were they maybe waiting to see if Washington would have beat Michigan to make that the game? Because then it would be a ranked on ranked game.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that could have been one that they would have put there. I just felt like I thought Michigan State, even after Michigan's win on Saturday, was going to be a 3:30 game. Because there's no chance it's going to be a big noon. Like, that's
not
possible.
No, but you also could have done Iowa, Minnesota. They are 2-5-2 teams battling for a pig. Floyd or Rosedale. That, right. At least that's a rivalry with two teams with winning records. That would have been more appealing to me.
But I do get the juice of you still have two brands, and the brands are still bigger than Minnesota, Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
And honestly, they're you know, no, I don't mean any disrespect by this, but if that game is out in Washington, it's two bigger brands than Illinois and Washington. So I get it in that regard.
How do you guys feel about it as you sit here today? You learn your team's playing Saturday night. Michigan, Michigan State. 248-539-9797. Ticket texter says the juice for this game must be prune.
Just looking to pass something.
Not a lot of juice here, but NBC has decided this is a featured game that features one program with a pulse and Michigan State. Tex says Underwood is the draw for this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about him and the Wolverines from the weekend, John.
Yeah, I mean, I think his best performance against a quality team. Because you look at and you say, okay, well, how did he do against Oklahoma? How did he do against? And Nebraska is kind of trying to figure out what they are. Wisconsin was nothing. And obviously not a great performance against USC, not a great team performance. So Washington comes to town. I didn't know how they weren't a ranked team coming in last week, but they weren't. So you can look and say, well, it's not a ranked opponent. But 21-27 and minus a couple of drops, those numbers could have been even better. Now, I always think everything evens itself out throughout the course of the game. There was a one-handed catch by Andrew Marsh that very well could have been an incompletion if DiCantonelli catches the first, second, and 20. So it all evens itself out, but he was very accurate, made good decisions. And one of the things I think he is doing much better at is the ball handling skills in the backfield. There were a number of times, and it happened a lot when Jasper Parker was in there, where everybody thought, you know, running back had the ball, but he's doing a nice job of the ball fakes, carrying out ball fakes, which is making everything else operate a little bit better. And it's one of those things that not a lot of people are going to talk about. Everybody's probably sitting there going, the hell are you talking about with this? Because you can obviously see he's much more accurate this week than he was last week or has been throughout the course of the season. And so there's just a lot of little things where you're looking at it going, yeah, he is really starting to round into being a good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, how much of this is the ups and downs of a freshman quarterback / the ups and downs of a young team? Like, John, who are the Michigan Wolverines? They're a hard team to figure out.
Well, and when you have freshman quarterback and you have, you know, you lose Justice Haynes, but Jordan Marshall, who's in his second year, I mentioned Jasper Parker. You got three offensive linemen, Sprague, Guarnera, and Blake Frazier after Levin Link went down that are in the, you know, their second years. So you've got a lot of young players, and then your number one receiver, which we all thought was going to be Donovan McCauley, and he's still good, but Andrew Marsh has taken over as wide receiver one. So you're talking about a lot of freshmen. And then on defense, there were times in that secondary where you had freshmen pretty much, or freshmen, first or second year players all over the place, whether it was Shamari Earls, Jaden Sanders, Jordan Young, Jacob Oden, and up front, Nate Marshall is still a very young player. So this is a team, when you have so many young players that are participating, it's going to be a roller coaster. There's going to be some times, and you hope they all hit good on the same day, because when they do, you get a game like they had against Washington. When they don't, you get a game like they have against USC. And I'm not going to say USC was all on just young players, because there were some veterans that played horribly.
Right, they lost handily in that one.
Yep.
The two toughest games they played, they lost, and they lost handily.
Mm-hmm.
Every other game they've won, and in my mind, they've won handily. I know Nebraska was a close game. They thoroughly outplayed Nebraska.
Yeah, there was maybe a coaching snafu at the end of the first half that made that game a little closer.
So what do we make of this team? They're a team that wins the ones they should, and they're a team that doesn't win the ones they shouldn't.
Right. So
what is it? A 9-3 is probably the outcome, just outside the playoff, and Michigan fans can do with that what they will. But for a young football team, like, I don't think that's to be all that unexpected.
Right. And I mean, so you look at the rest of the schedule, and you know, when they lost those two games, one to Oklahoma, USC, as soon as they lost to USC, okay, I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they entered playoff mode.
Yeah.
You cannot lose another one. If you're 9-3 and you've lost all of your best games, you're not in.
Right.
You know, the USA lost to a little bit of maybe overreaction. You lost your best player, arguably, in the game. A young team sometimes doesn't know how to deal with that. Look how bad Big Ten teams have been going out west for the most part. Well, a young team is going to be more susceptible to that. I mean, I guess, John, you really raised my eyebrow what you put in your prep. What is this team? So I've got the color commentator of the radio broadcast asking, what is this team? And you see more than all of us. So my thing is I would say they are improving slowly. And big picture wise, Underwood is getting better. And Aiden Childs didn't get better last year. You know, Underwood is playing better football game by game by game. And that's the most important big picture thing that can happen to Michigan this year. I just would wonder quickly, where's the Sharks that were out for Wink and Moore last week?
They're still there.
Because, no, they're just going to sit on the sidelines. Yeah. They went back out to the deep water, and the second something goes wrong, they'll jump on them. Am I completely defending both of them? Long-term, I have some questions, but the Sharks were circling last week, especially on Ticket Text, you know, already not thinking Moore's not the guy.
Well, if they had lost that game, it certainly would have changed the tenor of today's show. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, precisely. You're right, but they thoroughly won a game against a good team. I think a good team, a decent team.
I think Washington's good. I mean, again, we just made the point.
Washington's a well-coached team. I think we can agree on that.
And they're hanging outside the top 25 now at 5-2, but they came in at 5-1 with their only loss being to Ohio State. Like, and a young quarterback and a good coach, and there seems to be an arrow trending up for Washington. But Michigan needed to win that game. You're at home. You're favored. With or without your running back, you got to find a way to win. And it was tense. It was tight, right? 7-7 for a long time. They make a couple mistakes. Michigan's quarterback doesn't make those mistakes. Like, think about it. In a lot of ways, the game came down to which quarterback, young quarterback, made mistakes. And it wasn't Bryce.
Right. And so it's also trying to figure out who this team is. They haven't played one of the big-time games at home until Washington. But I think we can all agree Washington's not USC. Washington's not Oklahoma. And so they did play Oklahoma on the road. They did play USC on the road. And it is tougher to win on the road. But it's also tougher to win on the road when you have such a young team. And you have inconsistencies with some of the veterans. Now the question is going to be Michigan State. While Michigan State is not Washington, they're not Oklahoma or USC.
Or even Nebraska.
It's still a big game on the road. And so when you have that up and down, that roller coaster season, some of it due to young players, some of it due to the competition you're facing on the road, what did you learn at Oklahoma? What did you learn at USC? What worked when you were on the road at Nebraska? That's what they've got to figure out and go out there and perform on the road against Michigan State.
Some Ticket Text on the night game. Night games are the best, especially for in-state rivalries. Gives people a chance to get together with friends and family to watch the game. I think you could do that at 3:30 or noon, right?
Yeah.
Blake and Ypsilanti, whoever decided this should be primetime is a clown. I hope my Spartans get blown out so bad Jonathan Smith is fired on the spot. This one says, I will never want Michigan to win any game. I don't love what's happening with the Spartans program, but hell no, never root for Michigan. Go green.
I think there's more of those than there are get blown out so that we get rid of our coach.
The more you talk about alternative games that could have been in the 7:30 slot on Saturday, the more I understand why this game was chosen.
Yeah. Farmington. I mean, it's you're even though it's not the best football in the country that you're going to be watching, when you're talking about those other brands, it's still two of the bigger brands. Eyeballs want to be on Michigan, Michigan State.
You got to fill all the time slots somehow, some way.
And with NBC adding this Sunday night game from the Big Ten, look at the Big Ten games this week. Again, Floyd of Rosedale, 5-2, not the same.
Right.
Washington, Illinois, certainly not a traditional Big Ten game, but those are 5-2 football teams. Those are the ones you would have picked instead of this.
Right. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
And again, we're not the same. Not the same. It's 97.1.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. We're talking a little Michigan State, obviously the game tomorrow night, and we got our picks in early. I had Michigan winning 28-24. I think it's going to be a close football game for a bunch of reasons I stated earlier. I think the rivalry games, stuff happens. I think Aiden Childs has a chance to have a big game. Nick Marsh is going to be a problem for people in the Big Ten, and Michigan's no different. And, you know, Michigan State gets off to fast starts. Michigan has allowed, as we documented, a lot of long drives to open games. They broke the trend last week against Washington, although Washington, oddly, is notorious for slow starts. They fell behind Maryland 20-0. They fell behind Rutgers 10-0 before winning both those games, and they didn't move the ball against Michigan early. Actually, they did a little bit. They had an 8-play drive and netted 23 yards, and then they got into Michigan territory three times, the first three times they had the ball. And I think no points, right? It was a fourth drive, I believe they scored. Anyway, long story short, I think Michigan State needs a fast start. The formula's been there for them, and I think it builds belief. Dogfight, Michigan wins a close game, 28-24.
I think Michigan State will play strong, certainly for the first half and hopefully into the second half. But in the end, I just think Michigan's a better team, and they'll end up pushing more points across the board. I have it closer as well, but not as close as you do it. I have it 31-23 Michigan. If you know, I mean, there's so many things that have to go Michigan State's way for them to win this game. One of them is don't turn the ball over. That's been a problem. Penalties are always going to play a role in this game. And special teams seem to be big as well. Michigan State can't afford to give up big yards in a return game. You know, they've got one of the best punters in the country. So hopefully they're able to avoid any disaster there, but nonetheless, I still think Michigan has too much talent.
248-539-9797. We've been talking about the positives of a night game. This is the fourth consecutive Michigan State game that has been a night game. Hey, sports snobs. 70,000 go to the game. A couple million watch from home. I love night games. That's from Patrick. Okay, you can gear back the hostility,
yeah,
Cowboy.
It's not. I think I would feel a lot different if I weren't doing what I do for a living.
This is the least amount of enthusiasm for the game I've ever seen. That's from an unnamed texter. Another one here. I've mounted a nice 55-inch TV on my patio. It's harder to enjoy the night games outside and invite somebody over to watch the games at night. Since mounting it, the final Tiger game was on at night, both Lions games and now this Michigan-Michigan State game. Definitely harder to get together for a Sunday night football game or Monday night football game.
Because it's getting colder, or what do you
think? Yeah, I mean, you have to work the next day in many of these cases, too. But, all right.
I was just going to say, good time to get the fire pit going.
Tom in Troy says, not a fan of the night game. I want to go out on Saturday, and if I stay in, I'm an MMA fan, and UFC fights trump college football nowadays since the NCAA has become a circus. Night games are for those with kids.
Well, there's a heavyweight championship fight in the UFC. So that's competition.
We're asking for positives. The night game, and all we're getting is complaints about the night game. Not all of them, I guess. As a lifelong Spartan fan, I see this game being 35-7 type Michigan win. I just don't think MSU has much talent, if any at all, and they're not going to be able to keep up with Michigan. Hopefully this is Coach Smith's final game. Here's the thing about that kind of thinking, all right? Firing him now doesn't really provide you any great advantage, does it?
No, I think
it just gets your players that you like on your roster looking for their next stop quicker.
100% it does that. I think the earliest you could see any kind of change, they would have to lose. Michigan State would have to lose badly tomorrow night. And then I think the next game is Minnesota. They would have to get beaten badly then. And then they have a bye week before the next game, which I think is Penn State. The bye week would make sense if you're going to make a change, that then you go ahead and announce it then. But at the same time, I don't mind if they wait. There's a lot of coaching jobs that are open, and my waiting could be till after next season. Like, I'm not in any hurry to push them out the door. I just think they want them to do their due diligence and see what's there and what do a post-season interview, the whole thing with the players, and see where everybody's at and make up your mind at that point of what to do.
Unnamed texter, my son is in the Michigan marching band, and he doesn't like night games. He thinks they won't get back to Ann Arbor this Saturday till after 2 a.m. Technically, that would be Sunday, but yeah.
Oh.
And you've used 2 a.m. as your benchmark of when you get home from night games at Michigan State.
Typically, yeah.
I don't like the night game. I love the night games. With kids' activity and other things going on, I know I can catch the entire game at night, noon or 3:30. I always miss part of the game. That's from JP.
I feel that text very much.
Yeah, I bet.
Like when you, Doug, you know this, when you have young kids and they start getting activities and there's family time, the best chance for me as a dad is to watch games at night. In the middle of the day on a Saturday or Sunday, carving out 4 hours, it's tough.
You're screwed.
Yeah, it's absolutely just, that's why Doug is the king of the bubble. Like how many times have we got a text from you over the last 20 years, Doug? I'm in the bubble, guys.
It's definitely more than 100.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I'm entering that territory at some point, and it's just tough for me. So, yeah, I like the night game.
I've lived your timeline, and it's so much fun watching you go through it. So much fun. Robert, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Okay, Robert.
I just want to say why I like the night games, because you get to watch all the other games during the day, and then you get to settle in for your game at night. It's usually the last game you watch, so it's pretty cool.
Is there really, did you just describe any start time? Couldn't the same thing be applied to a noon start?
8 o'clock, anything like that is perfect. I mean, you get to watch every other game, and then, you know, you get the your game, the one you really want to watch. You know, it's usually
okay, so you like time. The buildup, because you could say on a noon start, I get to watch 3:30 and the night games, or 3:30 start, I get to watch the noon and the night games.
Correct.
But you like the buildup to your game.
Yes, absolutely. Like that Monday night game with Detroit was so great. You know, you got to watch all the other games, and then you get your game.
Well, there's not games on in the afternoon.
No, but it was the
Monday.
Buildup of the whole weekend. Starting on Sunday, and everybody's talking about it. You get the advertising going on Sunday night football. And don't forget tomorrow night, Monday night football. The Lions are hosting the Bucs. Yeah, I get that.
Regarding Animal Day, Scott says you have to have a crew. One brings a grill and a cooler. One brings the meat. One brings the cornhole. You got to have plates and cups and utensils, guy. Chips and dip, dude. And also, everyone brings drinks to share. I've seen some great tailgates. It's an art form.
Tailgating is great.
I know. And I never get to do it.
Organized tailgating is awesome.
And let me tell you something. The times I've gotten to do it are like the outdoor hockey games, occasional Lions game. I've gotten a chance to do it, but Sundays for me are kind of a recoup day. People that you get, behold your moments to tailgate. Cherish them. Because whenever I get to do it, I am reminded it is the greatest thing. It is. Tailgating is just awesome. And I'm not telling anyone. This is not some groundbreaking observation by sports snob over here. 248-539-9797. Looking for what people think are positives about the night games. In the meantime, Gator, there's some percolation about Tarik Skubal, including now some trade discussion and a name floated out there that could be the centerpiece of a return if he is dealt. We'll get to that today at 12:16. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream this show using the Audacy app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 971 The Ticket from anywhere in the United States. You could also stream through our website, 971theticket.com. Stream with video, twitch.tv and youtube.com. Both of those websites have streaming chat. We like to participate in them when we can. But also, we can take your observations and your posts there and read them on the air. Also, follow us on Twitter at DougGator971, where we often do listener polls and retweet stuff that when we mention video, so we can have you see it. All of what we do here on 97.1 The Ticket. We'll get to the Skubal scuttlebutt at 12:16. Talk some Lions at 12:30 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Coming up next hour, we'll get the latest on the Lions with the Birchie Kid. You know, trade, speculation, health updates of players. Bye week, time to get some guys back before Minnesota. Next game up, the latest at 12:30. Another edition of Are You Going to Eat That at 12:45. Gator, Michigan State. For years, right, we were told that it would never be a night game. That Michigan and Michigan State didn't want it, and it would never be a night game.
And yet, this will be at least the third that I can think of.
This is the fourth in a row.
Okay.
Yep. I was looking back at start times. Okay. 2012 to 2015, they were all 330s. 2017 was the first night game.
That was in Ann Arbor?
Was
it the rain game?
I don't remember. It might have been. 2018 through 2021, all noon games.
Nooners.
22, 23, 24, and now 25. These are all night games.
So 22 and 24 had stuff after the game. So those were Michigan. Those are at Michigan. 23, I guess that would have been at State. I don't remember that one as much. But
49 nothing.
There you go. That's probably why I don't remember it.
The point is, I want to, what are the positives of the night game? Like, I think people are sick of us bitching about night games.
Right.
What are some of the positives? What do you like about a night game?
I think it feels like a big game atmosphere. That's one thing. I think there is a cool element to playing at night under the lights. That does seem kind of cool. I feel like the band sounds better when it's under the lights. There's a lot I actually do like about. I'm saying I can't quantify
the band
it.
Just, sounds better under the lights.
The band sounds better under the lights. I don't know why that is. Because the rest of the noise is kind of turned down because it's dark out. I don't know. Feels that way to me.
Okay.
Can't argue with how I feel, Doug.
No, I'm not arguing with how you feel.
There's a lot that I do like about the night game. I just don't like going to the night game necessarily because of, you know, our situation. It's, you know, having to drive an hour and a half to East Lansing when there's, or at least an hour when there's no traffic. You know, it's 45 minutes to Ann Arbor when there's no traffic, but you factor traffic in the mix. And I feel like getting to Ann Arbor is easier because it's a shorter distance. But, you know, the whole trek out to East Lansing,
mm-hmm.
you're really beholden to what's happening on 96. And if there's construction, it's just a brutal march to get out.
Let's just go ahead and eliminate that and say you got a room. You got a room there okay. at the Kellogg Center. Walking distance, right?
That'd be amazing.
Yes.
Then I would, if I had that set up, then I would probably really enjoy it.
But it's probably a 2-night minimum.
Well, these are the problem.
Yeah. All anyway, right. The one of the positives of the night game is what's the ideal amount of time to tailgate? Like if you were to pick the start time to tailgate, ideally. Because not everybody loves a nooner for tailgating. Not everybody wants to get up at 5 in the morning and go wait in line at a spot.
Right.
But not everybody wants to be there for 12 hours either.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if I have to leave and come home after the game, if staying, you know, at the Kellogg Center or staying somewhere in Ann Arbor, if that's not an option, if I am leaving, then it's probably the 3:30 kick. If I have plans to stay, then let's make it a night game. That's great.
Let's take the getting out of there out of it. Just if perfect time, if you know you can get out easy, how long do you want to tailgate? Because tomorrow, I know people who are going to be there.
Duration rather than what time the start time is.
I know people are going to be there tomorrow before noon.
Yeah,
the game starts at 7:45. Yeah. That's when kickoff is going to be, 7:45.
Well, there's the crapper factor. Got to watch out for that. Make sure you're all set. I think for me, it's 4 hours prior to kickoff, I think, is plenty of time. It's not too long. It's not too short. I feel like that's a good amount of time. So
3:40. Tomorrow, the ideal time to get there would be 3:45.
Yeah, 3:30.
Have you ever done any Animal Day tailgating? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done the night game where I've been out for Michigan State game. For an evening game in Ann Arbor that I've been there at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sort of at the point in my life where I feel like I need to adapt an STFU about night games because they're just going to be a reality, a part of the sport moving forward. And the positive of night game to me is you get to watch the entire noon game if you so choose. Michigan and Michigan State played a night game, the night game 2 years ago. The noon game, Big Ten noon kickoff, was Penn State at Ohio State. And I had a decision to make. And my decision was to be in the press box in East Lansing before noon because I wanted to watch that game in its entirety. And so I packed a lunch. Our engineer, Tony Butler, gets there like 12 hours ahead of time because Tony's that way. And I knew he'd be up there and I got in there and just went up and kicked back and in the press box, watch Ohio State, Penn State. And that's the positive of the night game. If there's a noon game you want to watch, you can watch it in its entirety.
Yeah, you can.
And so I'm going to try and start I'm turning over a new leaf here. We'll see if this lasts. It might not last till, it might last until probably like, 10:30 tomorrow night. But I'm not going to bitch about night games anymore. I'm going to try and focus on what I like about night games. But I'm wondering, in general, are people adapting and starting to enjoy the night game? Because my theory on night games has always been, if you're going, a high percentage of people don't like them. If you're watching on TV, a high percentage of people like them. Do you think that's an accurate reflection of the real world?
Kind of. I mean, I think the majority of people, I mean, the problem is it's you and I talking. We're in the business and there's a whole different element to it. I think the majority of people like the night game. I do.
You do, regardless of whether you're going or not. Because here's the other thing about the night game. Like, I'm going to make a prediction, because you usually tend to think, oh, the younger crowd loves the night game. Next Saturday is November 1st. There's going to be Halloween parties on campus all weekend long. I bet student sections for night games around the country are going to be empty. I'm going to bet that students choose not to go to the game unless they got some massive game. Like Michigan's got a night game against Purdue. Good luck. Good luck filling that student section. But now, so the students have other priorities. It's hard to get students to stay through four quarters of a game already.
Right.
But, you know, we're looking for positives. Have you adapted and start to like the night game, the big game feel, the extended tailgating? I wonder if anybody else agrees with Gator's theory that the band sounds better at night.
I think it does. I don't know what it is.
I want some people to support that. I love this.
It's been that way. I've always felt like, even going back to high school, like I remember going to high school football games when I wasn't in the high school, when I was younger, to go see one of my good friend's older brothers play. And it was always like a night game. And it just had that atmosphere. It's just a sense memory that's burned into my brain of that. That was really cool. It just sounded louder, sounded better. And, again, to go sit in the stands, it's cold out, you're huddled up, you got a hot chocolate, and really used to enjoy that as a spectator.
The one thing about a night game is that is a challenge. If you have a noon start, when the game ends, not everybody leaves at the same time.
No.
Right? Some people go back to their cars, hang out, continue the tailgate. Maybe you got a TV set up, you watch the 3:30s. In a night game, I would say that a high percentage of people are leaving at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the outcome of the game, what's going on. I mean, when you see the 49-0 game, I'm guessing people left before the third quarter was over.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know I've left games at times well ahead. I left the Michigan State game, the one where they had the brawl in the tunnel. I left at the end of the third quarter. I got home in time to see the end of the game because nobody had left. But I'm like, I don't want to be out here until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I took off and listened to the game on the radio, and then watched the final 3 minutes or whatever it was at home on TV and saw everything else unfold.
I just got this from a listener, Eric. You play at night in high school. It's a big game feel. Tailgates are more. With that said, you should not do more than two a year. In Tennessee, we would set up by 10 a.m. for a 7:30 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
That's an animal day.
It is. And I've done the animal day. Here's the thing about that is there's such planning that takes place.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about the food for a tailgate for an animal day like that. You have to have two major meals. You've got lunch. And then you've got the dinner, but you got to plan it right because, okay, if I'm going to bust out the Blackstone or a grill, do you want to do that and serve up dinner at 6 o'clock? And because you got to have enough time to make sure that thing cools off and you can put it away, or do you do that at noon? I mean, it's a two meal day.
We have some feedback here from a former member of the Michigan Marching Band. Settle down, Beavis, on Twitch. The band always sounds better. I think he means at night, or she. The band always sounds better. The air is colder and denser. The sound travels better.
There it is. Acoustics.
Yep. So you're apparently onto something. What do you like about a night game? 248-539-9797. We'll get to your predictions. If you missed ours earlier, we'll repeat them coming up in the noon hour. Talk some Lions at 12:30. Are you going to eat that at 12:45? It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, man. Back when we had talent. Okay. So welcome in. Now, we got thrown a curveball before we got on the air from a rivalry standpoint. And again, Rico and I are leaving behind what we feel like we need for the long-term health of the program. I'm just separating, right? Like, losing is not a bad thing if it gets us the ultimate goal, which is I just don't feel like this staff is going to lead Michigan State to a Big Ten championship. I don't, you know, and some of you will snicker at that, but that's actually real. Okay, Vanderbilt's number 10, Indiana's number 2. Don't tell me Michigan State somehow is an impossibility.
Well, yeah, no, we don't have the resources, Mike.
Oh, I know, that hillbilly ass attitude.
You know how hard it is to do that, and you just think anybody?
Yeah. You sound like the townies in East Lansing. Here's the point. Let's put that to the side. Doug Karsh sold fear today. Now, before you say, well, Doug's not being honest, remember, Doug is the king of respect. Do you know what's not respectful? Lying to people. Doug's opinion on the game as the voice of Michigan football. Be careful. Just survive. Just focus. Get out of here with a W. There was no confidence emanating from Doug Karsh. Mm-hmm. Now, the counterpoint to that is there's no optimism being sold from Spartan fans. Not that we have heard. No one in my sphere is like, yeah, they're going to rise up and do that. I haven't heard that. And Lord knows, callers, forget it. The callers we've gotten, they want Smith gone. They are just whatever. Right. So here's my question. Well,
but again, are we inviting an echo chamber? But go ahead.
No, because it's people have free will to call in. True. Like that's just not, this isn't North Korea. It's not like Comrade Kenny is screening the phones over here. So look, I want to ask you guys, where do you stand with this? Based on Doug didn't sound confident, Doug sold some fear. Now, if you're a Wolverine, I would like your response to that. Earlier, I can tell you, almost exclusively, we got Wolverines that were concerned, nervous. I was surprised. Spartan fans are not optimistic. Now, we could get into the football of it, but I just don't even know if we need to go there. MSU would have to play a game, comprehensively to Rico's point, they have not played under Jonathan Smith in a year and a half. They haven't done it. So, I again, if you want to sell me, it's back against the wall. It's going to be for sale signs out in front of the houses if they lose. And, oh, they're bringing former players back this week. Hey, if it takes that for you to play up.
Canines now there. Why you know, he knows the rivalry. Like,
why can't we just put him in a uniform? Who the hell would notice?
Does he still have eligibility?
It doesn't matter. Just cheat. Signed Michigan. The point I'm making is.
Who's that little guy out there?
Oh, that's Mekhi Frazier. He looks fast. He did some speed training. Look, I want to hear from you guys though, because ultimately this is a weird year for the rivalry and it's a very bad time for Michigan State. But if you're a Spartan who's optimistic, don't be afraid to say it, but also don't be afraid to speak the truth. For Wolverines, I was taken aback by what Doug Karsh said. I was shocked. So where do you stand? 248-539-9797. Rico? Are you going to sell? This is the last stand at the OK Corral here?
I'm going to sell, Mike. They have a chance, but all three phases of the game must play in sync and play well. It can't be offense and defense is good, special teams is booty. It can't be. It can't be, okay, special teams is great, defense is great, can't score. All three have to go out there, and all three have to play inspired. You need to see a game very similar to the Iowa game at Saturday night last year where they took on Iowa. They were almost a touchdown underdog, and they went out there and they won by double digits.
The issue is when you draw upon plenty of bad state teams have competed or – like, look, John L. had a couple of teams that were no good. We were in overtime against Michigan. You go to the 90s with Saban. Those teams weren't good, but they had talent. Mm-hmm. See, I don't like anything about this team. I just don't. They will have to your point, like even the Iowa game, playing the way they played against Iowa last year won't beat Michigan.
No.
You're not kicking 7 field goals beating this team.
And maybe, at least, especially on defense, maybe you do need to let some of these younger guys just go out there and see what you got. Because I know what the older guys got. It ain't much.
I could play a drop for that, but it wouldn't be nice. 248-539-9797. Now, David, Doug is your shepherd of Wolverine affairs. Where do you stand? Are you nervous here? Are you uber confident? I mean, just please, I would just like to hear.
I'm more in the middle. I'm not uber confident and I'm not scared. It's just in the middle, mainly because of what Michigan looks offensively. Because I see nothing with Michigan State. So it really depends on if Michigan can get it together with Bryce in the offense. I trust the defense. They looked a little better last week. But no, I'm not uber confident or I'm not scared either. It's in the middle.
248-539-9797. I'd ask Kenny, but he would just say pillow fight. Respectfully, I get that.
He's more worried about Florida beating Georgia this week.
You know what? I'm actually, Kenny, what do you have to say about this?
On the topic, Feinbaum.
No, all pillow jokes or pillow fight jokes aside, I'm kind of more with David and being in the middle. If I had to pick an outcome, I would say that Michigan takes care of business, wins by double digits, business trip moves on. That's where I'm at. I don't think Michigan State fans have that much of a reason to, I don't know, pump their chest and feel like, yeah, we're going to do something here. I'm way less confident. I also think Doug is, I think Doug's afraid.
You better just choose your words careful here.
I think he's afraid. That's all.
Of
I think
what,
he's
though?
A rivalry game. I mean, in the past, and not, this is not going to happen this year, but in the past, we always say it, weird things happen in this game, whether it's sideline antics, whether it's between the lines, a lot of weird things tend to happen with this rivalry. I think that that's always going to be a fear in the back of a rational person's mind. I think this is a double-digit win for Michigan.
Sensible.
Yeah.
I don't feel insulted.
No, I don't.
But I just, it's just interesting because it's been a lot of Wolverine concern that I'm shocked by. No Spartan optimism. Yeah, and again, if you're a Spartan.
You're right. I don't think we've had one Spartan that's like, you know what, they're pulling off the upset.
Or even, you know, they'll have the ball late with a chance to tie or take the lead, like nothing. I'm not mad if you feel that way. I just, if you'd be kind, I'd like some reasons. Like, look, if you want football stuff, explain to me how we're going to drop back and throw the ball. Explain to me how we're going to block up their edges.
I was about to say, that I can give you. You got to just, as soon as you snap the ball, you got to throw it. You can't hold. Aiden Childs, if he holds on to the ball for 3 seconds or more, will die back there. Plain and simple.
Hold on. Can we put that up on the NBC scouting report? We don't need Blackledge and Nepo, baby. We just need Rico's keys to the game. If Aiden holds it for 3 seconds, he's dead. Bullet point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then that takes away all verticality.
Barham goes straight Nick Bolton.
Yeah, Barham's a, that's a bad.
Right, if you can't, because if you hold on to it for 3 seconds, here comes one and dead.
Can I bring one thing up? I don't want to get you in trouble. Can you repeat here what you said to me out there?
No.
Really should have waited for the break for that. All right, just strike that from the record. I had something good for the rivalry, but Rico didn't want to share. You know what kind of fish you are? Selfish.
You know, Mike, here's what I think. Looks like, seems like, feels like.
Okay.
If you're a Spartan fan, you can go ahead and root for wherever you want. I don't think that Smith makes it through this season. I just don't. So, that's just me. Nope. Nope.
Rico Beard reporting Jonathan Smith's a dead man.
Nope. Just saying, that's me. Looks like, seems like, feels like. Unless there's that, he goes on this, he does what UCLA is doing. Other than that.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Okay, thank you for that.
No, oh, man.
I looked over at the clock keeper and he winked at me.
Okay, they're over there. Jesus.
He's older than Larry Stevens.
All right, best and worst. They are asking best and worst moments in the rivalry. Just have a little fun before we play Who Said It.
The Woodson interception, even as a State fan, that was damn impressive. See, I didn't realize, like, what did I just
yeah.
See here.
You saw Todd Schultz being terrible. That's part of it. But no, Charles, that's the best defensive football player I've ever seen in college football. Period. Yeah. Him and Ndamukong Suh are my two. Two guys who just, like, with Woodson, you just didn't go over there.
Deion was mine. Just
okay.
Don't even worry about it. If you throw to this side, I will pick you off. Throw over there. Leave me alone today. I'm sitting here reading a newspaper.
Best. All right. So I have two. And it's not trouble with the snap. And people probably are like, well, how? Because, again, sports to me, it's there are personal things tied to it. So one would be, I believe it was October 3rd or October 6th of 1995. So Saban's first year, I had to hand my dad like $6 from raking leaves so I could get the game on pay-per-view. But it was at Spartan Stadium, Michigan State, snow, unseasonable snow. And it was where Woodson had a pick, but it went through his hands and Derek Mason caught it. But it was Tony Banks to Nigeia Carter. Like, that kind of really set the tone of, like, the connection point of liking MSU to, like, I want to go to school here. As stupid as that sounds.
Buddy, I froze my behind off.
Oh, yeah.
Game. And I wish I'd have known you then. Went to the game with an extra ticket. Couldn't find anybody because the weather was so bad. People were like, nah, it's too cold. Yeah.
But it just...
You could have been my guest back in the day. We were sat in the end zone.
And I was also a huge slap for Scotty Green. I loved Scotty Green, number 47, the ultra back.
Thank God we didn't have instant replay or booth reviews.
Well, you know, you hate to see it. But it was Tony Banks. That game, that marked kind of like a real, like, I want to go to school here. The other one is like, I got to be careful because I'll choke up talking about it. It was 2021. It would be Brantley's interception. Like, I'll always appreciate Chuck Brantley. But, like, you know who I'm talking about as part of our tailgate group. It was, God, I got to think about this now. Was probably, it might have been a week or 8 days before. You know who I'm speaking of, yeah. Lost his wife.
Yeah.
So that was, like, out of nowhere. And then the whole conversation, because he never missed games, and they would go together. And he was a part of our tailgate group. Like, his son played for the school, and, like, he's, you know, Dan is what? God, Dan is in his mid-70s now. So he's 30 years older than me. But, like, Dan and Linda, they were kind of like parents away from home for me because we spent time together, right. And my family wasn't here. So she passed away, and the whole thing was like, all right, Dan, what, you know, because Dan was like, no, I am going to this game. And I'm like, all right, well. We were all like, what do you need from us? Do you want us to redo tailgate? We will all show up. We were all retired from tailgate by that point. Clearly, we don't. But he had to be there. He just felt like he had to be there. So the way that game unfolded was an absolute roller coaster. And then Chuck Brantley, like, it was like Odell Woodson, Beckham Jr. Yeah. That was a very emotional. That was like, it was so much more than just me or like wanting to win the game. That was for someone else. So that would be my other number one. Those are the two. The worst, I mean, Jesus, pick. I was at the Braylon game. I had a buddy, my buddy Chris. He's a Michigan fan. I'm a State fan. With 8.5 minutes to go after DeAndre Cobb.
I mean, I know Chris.
You know Chris.
Yeah, okay.
So DeAndre Cobb scores on that delay draw again, 27-10. He goes, let's get out of here. I go, Chris, no way, man. Like, I've waited my whole life to try to win here. Like, we can't. I go, come on. There's plenty of game left. Oh, well, why did I even say it? And then it just turned
into. You jinxed it.
I did. It was Benny Hill music.
Way to go, pizza boy.
The big house was dead. The only people standing and breathing were State fans. You could hear the fight song in Michigan Stadium. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. And then we all know what happened. That's probably the worst. But the second in command might be that 2012 game.
First and goal from the one.
Oh, don't start. I know. Those would be the two.
You got JU right there. Right there.
We don't need to relive the bad. We can just live the good. Let's go to the people.
Jeez. First and 10, fourth and 44. I mean, that was just, it was jailbreak. That may have been the most awesome three downs of defense I had ever seen.
The best is when Devin could have got the first down because my seats, that was right in line with where I was. I think I was on like the, before I dipped out and said enough of this, I was like, I don't know, around the 42. He takes one look at Danico Salen and is just like, nope, not today.
Something's wrong here.
Something is wrong here.
and he just hit the deck. He didn't want it.
Oh, well. Well, those were the days. All right, let's go to the people. We'll go to Dave, 97.1. David, what's going on, buddy? All right, Dave's rummaging in the garage. We'll get back to him. We'll go to Jared, 97.1. Jared, how you doing, pal?
Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, bud. What's up?
Yep. Worst moment, I'm a Michigan fan. Easily, Kenneth Walker. That was just like a ripping of my soul out of my body. I actually refused to watch football the rest of the season after that. I came back after 2 weeks, though, but that destroyed me even more than Trouble at the Snap.
It's fair.
Yep.
I think it's always worse when you blow a lead. There's something about having game control and you let your guard down and then you see it unfold. There's just something psychologically, it devastates you.
You're exactly right, Mike. I mean, Trouble with the Snap, flash in the pan, freak accident, but Kenneth Walker, that was devastating. And then best moment, obviously, 2007, little brother comment, which just ignited a great rivalry, but I mean, every year we beat Michigan State, I love.
Yeah, and you should. Jared, I just wish we could show up and represent the rivalry. We've fallen off a cliff.
Well, the funny thing about the little brother comment, it really wasn't that game. That game ticked me off. It was just stuff afterwards, but it was like, that was a hell of a comeback with a great pass for a touchdown, and man. But then he started running his mouth off, and that was.
But Jared's right. It was the best thing that ever happened to State. Yeah. That comment helped launch D'Antonio. That was a moment. I mean, can you imagine if that happened and Jonathan Smith was the coach?
Well, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Well, you know, he could say whatever he wants, and that's just how it is.
There's another era where I feel like Jonathan Smith could work. It's just not this one. I just don't see it.
But you know, Matt, well, the funny thing about the Kenneth Walker game, and it's one of those, because now we know more. Like I said, for this game, Michigan State would have to do something different, something we haven't seen before.
Like go hurry up because the other team knows their place.
And in that game,
and then they couldn't get lined up.
I'm sitting there next to Evan, like, Evan, I've never seen this before. Like, why are they going hurry up? And I remember sitting next, Michigan was up big, and I'm like, Evan, I think State's going to win this thing. He's like, no, they're going to win this thing. But yeah, they kept going hurry up. And like,
Michigan couldn't get lined up.
They have never in the history of gone that much hurry up.
Well,
David,
you can't cheat in that quick amount of time.
Now I understand. But
all right, that's enough now.
At the time, it made zero. Like, they just keep catching, man. Walker just takes it right up the middle of the field.
All right, we get it. You won in 21. Thank you for that.
David, it's the last vestige of good moment we have, okay? It's the last time we saw Nona alive and her eyes were open.
I will tell you this, and I know Michigan lost that game, but for personal reasons, with my household and my kids, that was a great game. That was a great moment in my house because we're going back and forth of making fun of the Spartan fan, and then at the end of the game, he just loving on, like, killing us after that.
Was he shirtless looking at his brother? Good job by you. Better job by us.
It felt like that, and I told him, I'm proud of you. Keep coming at me. Keep coming at me. Those moments, you know.
You know, the other one, and I know because it's the controversial, it didn't count, was Ricky White in that game. Like is anybody going to – like, you couldn't cover him. Like, he just catches.
The problem, and I know it happened. Like, I watched it. It happened. But, like, nothing in that year, the further we get from it, feels authentic. Like, do you realize there was a cardboard cutout of Doug Karsh in Spartan jammies in Spartan Stadium that I paid for?
Yeah, I found it. Took a picture.
Yeah, that's what we think about the insanity. There were cardboard cutouts of people in the stands.
Well, think about this. Yes, like when it comes to movies and things, like when you see 80s, you always see, you know, the certain look. In the 90s is the wild neon colors. 2020 is just going to be people walking around in masks. That's gonna, and you'll immediately know. Oh, this must be taking place in 2020.
Just
and social distancing,
but the football stuff,
was
playing in empty stadiums. But we just wanted sports,
right?
So you just dealt.
Or yeah, there was the NBA final in the bubble.
The bubble, the bubble bowl.
The Steelers, I think it was Steelers Ravens on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
In the middle of the week.
No, Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
There it is, yes.
And we're like, well, David, the game is on if you want to watch it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.